That's the main squeeze and payday. I thought that'd be an appropriate song for this moment. A couple of minutes after 8 o'clock, welcome to the Mornings with Ed Show, Wednesday edition of the program. And as we do each and every Wednesday, we are delighted to speak with Laureen Gilbert, the award-winning president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services with Wealthwise Moment. And this hour of the Mornings with Ed Show is brought to you by Wealthwise Financial Services. It's wealth management redefined. Good morning, Laureen. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm great. How do you like that rain outside?
Oh, I was digging it last night.
Yeah. You know what, Ed?
Yes.
Rain here means snow in the mountains. That is the best part.
And that's a good sign for you. You're an avid skier. You love to ski.
I am. And I'm heading to the mountains next week. So right. I was just checking the snow report.
Now,
do
you snowboard as well?
No, just downhill.
All right.
Well, a purist skier.
All right. Well, you're going to get a lot of action here in the next week, and even next week we're getting more rain, which will be more snow for you. Wow, you're just
very cool.
You're dialed in for the next several weeks. Congratulations. I love the rain at night. I actually love it as I'm sleeping. It helps me sleep. I think it scored me a 95 on my smart bed this morning. I think so.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
95. What kind of score is that for a night's sleep?
Yeah.
That's great.
I didn't even know there were scores. That's interesting.
Oh, I've got to tell you this.
Scores your sleep. Yeah. It scores your sleep.
Yeah. Allow me to tell you this. So about 6 months ago, it was time to get a new bed. We got a new bed. And this one, it checks your pulse, your heart rate, your breathing rate. And then you wake up in the morning and you can check your score, your sleep score and overall sleep. And I found myself now, I'm hooked on checking the score.
I love that.
Yeah, it's a really cool bed.
That is very cool.
Yeah. There's some really important stuff happening all around us, and we talked about it last week, but yesterday Russia invaded Ukraine, and as you see it right now, we're a couple of hours into the trading day. What are you seeing?
Well, what we're seeing is the markets entered a little bit lower and then have flattened out so far today, but no surprise that there's going to be continued volatility in the markets as the situation unfolds. However, what I want to point out is that, and I think we talked a little bit about this, I think, last time, but what I want to explain is that typically in a geopolitical situation, the markets are down around 5%. But we've already seen that from the other pressures that we've had, inflation, the Fed raising rates, that kind of thing. One point I want to make out is that when the S&P 500 goes through a correction, investing at the bottom results in an average of 15% return over the next 12 months. So we're now officially in correction territory on the S&P 500. And 1 year out from here, on average, your gain in 1 year is 15%. So all of that is to say that we're buying into the dip. And the reason we are is we do not believe this is heading us into recession. And so the only time that we see continued downward movement would be if we were heading into recession. We don't see that.
Okay. All right. And generally and overall, do investors play it safe during something like this? And should they?
Yeah, so investors are very nervous right now. We've gotten more calls and emails this week than we have since March of 2020, which is significant, right? So that tells me anecdotally a couple things. Tells me anecdotally we're probably close to a capitulation of the markets because investor sentiment tends to be emotional and go against, you know, non-emotional investing. And so when investors are getting really, really nervous, we're probably close to a bottom in the markets for a correction, and then we'll see rally. So to your point, it all depends. If somebody needs money soon, then they need to know that they can get access to the money that they need. But if they're investors and looking for the long haul, then they don't need to worry about playing it so-called safe. They want to look for, make sure their allocation is proper, and then how can we take advantage of these dips. And that's what we're doing, because what happens when the market takes a decline, our equity exposure relative to our target allocation becomes light. So then we increase that so that we get back to target. And then when the market rallies, we sell off equity to get us back down to target. So that's the way you work it when you don't see a recession.
It sounds like a working formula. It really does. And I'm curious, you had mentioned this week you've taken more calls than you have in a long time. What are you hearing, or what are investors more uncertain of? Are they more uncertain about the situation in Russia or the Fed taming inflation without hurting economic growth?
I think it's a combination, but it's that the Russia-Ukraine situation is what's tipped investors overboard to say, oh my gosh, you know, what does this mean? Are we going to war? Is it going to be a global recession? How bad is this going to be? What's going to happen? So it's this big uncertainty. So, you know, certainly we had enough pressures already before with concerns about the Fed and inflation, and then you add this on top. And so what I try to remind investors is, let's look at the fundamentals. Let's look at all the economic data that we're getting. Q4 has been an incredible quarter as far as earnings, and so we still see companies being healthy. And yet, having said that, Ed, we're actually also decreasing our European exposure, because Europe stands to be hurt much more than the U.S., right? Because the sanctions that are being put in place have no effect, by the way, on us. Our trade with Russia is minuscule. So it's not going to impact them, and it's not going to impact us as far as U.S. sanctions. However, Europe does much more trade and is more reliant upon Russia. So that's why I'm saying, we're right now looking at decreasing that exposure. We still think, you know, after this is over, there'll be another opportunity to increase exposure internationally, but right now we're decreasing it.
Okay, and I think I want to ask a question on top of that. Is that okay? So it affects Europe more directly. Will we see like a trickle up or a trickle down? Hurting? Will we hurt from a trickle down? Because if Russian stocks are bottoming out at the same time that they start to face harsh financial sanctions, yes, it affects Europe, which are our trading partners. So won't it eventually affect us?
Not really. Not really. I mean, the only thing that affects us more so would be oil.
Okay.
Right? So oil and oil prices, which necessarily, you know, we know that they're going to increase at this time.
$100 a barrel yesterday, right?
Yeah, so exactly. And, you know, that could go up for a while. But I want to point out, too, during the Crimea situation, we saw oil, you know, go up and peak, and then 6 months later, it was right back down. So just people to beware as far as if they're, you know, one, overly concerned about it. I think, you know, oil prices will go up right now, but then probably come down. And two, just buyers beware if they're thinking that this is a good buying opportunity. The run-up could be short-lived is what I'm saying.
Okay. I want to take a left turn and ask you about something I read yesterday. So yesterday, Macy's, a store that I'm one of those brick and mortars I love. So Macy's yesterday rejected calls to spin off its e-commerce operations after they did a company board review of the company's entire strategy. What's going on with Macy's?
Yeah, great question. So this brings up the topic of activist investors and what happens when you have an activist investor group going after you. And that's what's happened with Macy's. So there's an activist investor group called Jana Partners LLC that has been trying to tell Macy's what to do, specifically with their e-commerce. They wanted them to split off the e-commerce business away. Now, what Macy's then did is they hired a third-party firm to analyze this idea. The board reviewed that data and came to the conclusion that it would actually cost them more to split off than it would for them to keep it integrated with their business. And this last quarter, their digital sales represented 39% of their revenue in Q4. So it's a significant part of Macy's revenue. Now, what I want to explain to people is activist investors play a major role with companies. They come in and they do all kinds of things. They try to, they will appoint board members. For instance, Kohl's is another one that had McCallum come in and try and tell them what to do, appointed 10 board members, and their objective is for Kohl's to be sold. They want that company sold. And so what Kohl's did in that case is they did what's called a poison pill. Have you heard of a poison pill?
No.
And so poison pill gives shareholder rights, and it's a shareholder rights plan, and it makes it difficult for an activist group to acquire more than 10% of the company. And so they did that for a one-year period because they believe that they can get a better buyer than the bid that they just rejected most recently. So all of that is to say activist investors can have a major impact on stocks. They come in, they buy a bunch of shares, they try to take over, they appoint board members, they try to tell people what to do. In the case of Kohl's, the 10 people that were appointed, a lot of them have investment banking backgrounds. And so, because that's what McCallum wants, they want them to be sold. So and something to take to watch.
I think my pedestrian question now is, are these department stores like Macy's and Kohl's, are they feeling the pressure from like Amazon? Could Amazon be driving some of these activist investors and online clothing brands and things that aren't brick and mortar?
Well, I think there's two things here. Certainly, Amazon is a major player, right? That's really changed the way that people shop and change expectations as far as speed on delivery. So they've been the leader in that kind of digital commerce that other companies have now learned from Amazon. But Amazon is... You know, all these companies are trying to increase their revenue. And something that we look at when we're listening to earnings calls are, you know, how are they doing on e-commerce? Because e-commerce is, one, it's an opportunity for retailers, but two, it's a necessity now for retailers that they have to have that because, you know, who goes to brick and mortar anymore? Not as many people as used to.
Right. I like brick and mortar still, actually. Mm-hmm. well, thank you for that explanation there. And you told me something just a few minutes ago that I found, wow, this is great news. I can still actually contribute to an IRA and it would affect last year's taxes?
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Up until April 15th, you can make an IRA contribution, and that's both either a traditional IRA contribution or a Roth IRA contribution. And it depends upon your eligibility and that as far as whether it's deductible or not. But everybody's eligible to make an IRA contribution. If you have earned income, you're eligible to make an IRA contribution. It just may be deductible or it may not be deductible. And that depends on your modified adjusted gross income. And so depending on what those numbers are, will determine your eligibility to deduct those contributions on a traditional IRA. And the Roth IRA is after-tax contributions that grow tax-deferred and come out tax-free. Once again, depending upon your income will determine whether you can contribute. And then if you're under 50, you can contribute up to $6,000 a year as long as you've earned that much. And then if you're 50 or over, it's another $1,000, it's $7,000.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. And you saw how happy I got when you told me that earlier. So thank you.
Yeah,
for that.
There's one other little trick. Yeah, there's one other trick called a backdoor Roth. And what the backdoor Roth means is you can contribute to an after-tax IRA and then immediately convert it to a Roth IRA. And then if you do that, then it's in a Roth. So that's another little, it's called backdoor Roth.
Excellent. I like the terminology, actually. I love that. Mm-hmm. You're speaking this coming Friday at the Rotary Club here in town?
I am at the Laguna Beach Rotary. So I'm going to be talking about the markets, the economy, what we're seeing. So that's this Friday.
Okay. I can't wait to sit in, grab a chair. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Laureen Gilbert is the president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services. Laureen, as always, thank you so much for spending this time with us. How do we find you?
WealthwiseFinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
All right. I'm keeping my fingers crossed for more rain, and then that means more snow for you on the ski slopes.
Thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
Have a great day, Laureen.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you. 8:20 the time.